This morning, I just quickly want to share something about church and our everyday life. It might sound a bit weird because church and our everyday life, it's supposed to be close together. But it's so quick that these two get a bit distracted and we try to add church to whatever we are doing. And it's also part, some time ago, I started just talking about back to basics. I believe God is just calling us to a time of back to basics, a time of reflecting on His Word again and what He's telling us, and each one of us, that we will look at our lives and also take stock of what we are doing, what we are busy with. This weekend I removed a few apps from my phone. Just got a bit distracted. And I realized if I want to do something different, I must change something. If I want a different result, I need to change something. So I thought I'll just start with my phone. It's close. And remove a few things. And I just started monitoring that, where do I spend my time? Where is it going? What am I doing? And yeah, and that is for me very practical, back to basics. So I touched on everyone of us has got a story. You've got a testimony. You've got a road that you've walked to being here this morning. When you talk about everyday life, there's a lot going on just in my week. Last week, I solved the problem on my PC that I had for a few years. That was very satisfying. Had a major misunderstanding of my wife. That was not great. So that influenced a few things. Then I won a voucher from Loot online shopping. That was great. I just struggled to get the voucher. That wasn't great. I played more with the kids. I realized that Gustav, the eldest one, he just got a bit grumpy last week and before that, and his behavior was a bit weird, and Samuel started making funny faces when we look at him, and we realized that it seems like he wants some attention. So that was just for me one evening. I just realized, wow, I just think they just need more time with us. So we play a lot with them, and they play a lot with us. They think we are their toys. But I just realized that there are certain things that are really important. And the weekend that we went away, it was just a very busy time before that, last weekend going away. And immediately we see they react differently, they behave differently. Gustav is just a different boy. And we didn't do anything different. We just spent quality time with them. Quality time in itself is also a weird word. It also got invented because we are so busy. Usually we just had time with our kids and with everyone else that mattered. So each one of us, we've got a story and we've got a life. And the season where you find yourself obviously plays a big part in your story. All of us, I love it how God brings us together from different seasons of life, different backgrounds, different places. We are something of everything. And that's beautiful. That's how church is supposed to be. And each one come with that story, come with life, something that we can share. And it's also something from each one that's a blessing to the others. And I really would like you to see it that way. And if you're not sure, just ask the people next to you or at small group or wherever we gather, what is that thing that stands out from me? What is that blessing that I bring? And it's very quick to it's very quick to say it because it's visible to everyone. But what's sad is when we go on Facebook and you just hope for someone that will give you some likes, and you put everything on there that you've done for the last week and all the best things. And I realize that sometimes I just want that affirmation. I just want someone to see, someone to think about me. And back in the days, I'm actually angry at Facebook because my friends used to phone me and tell me, man, I passed the exam. You remember how we prayed for that exam and trusting God for it? Now there's nothing. It's just a Facebook message. I passed the exam. If I wasn't on Facebook for that week, then I missed it. Then there's no celebration. Maybe there was a celebration with my friend, but that's the kind of thing that happened. There was a lot of celebration. There was a lot of interaction, a lot of trusting God for things, a lot of praying together, and social media and a lot of other things came, and it just started taking place of relationships and things that was really normal. So I thought of what if Matthew, the tax collector, he was here this morning and he wanted to share something about his life. That maybe when he walked in here, we would thought, man, not Matthew. He took all our tax money. He's not a great guy. I saw him next to the road and he tricked me every time. And immediately we have got some sort of a connotation to this guy. And then he says that now I'm now following Jesus. And you hear that he just got called in. He's actually replacing someone. And I would have thought that maybe immediately I would have thought, man, that's unfair. Why Matthew of everyone? Why is he now one of the disciples? Couldn't there have been a better guy? Someone different. And then he starts sharing how he walked with Jesus and blind people shouted next to the road and there was a whole crowd following and Jesus stopped and he asked these guys, what do you want? The weirdest question. And then he healed them. And then it's so quickly you think, but that's also not fair. Of all the crowd or everyone walking with Jesus, he just stopped for these two guys that's shouting. That's actually a bit rude. And Matthew would go on and he will share his story of just life and what is happening. Now they walked into Jerusalem and Jesus telling them to go find a donkey. Weird things. So now we must get a donkey for Jesus. We spend a meal together. And this woman came and she just threw a whole alabaster flask of ointment over his head. And we all got angry and Jesus said, no, we're not allowed to get angry. And it's all of this is this life. And then Jesus washing our feet. But in all of that, that would have been his story. That would have been his story, just telling about Jesus. Without him, I think, even realizing it. He would say, Jesus has done this. Then they went and they wrote the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the disciples, and very little we see stuff about himself. It's all about what Jesus is doing. I don't think they wrote autobiographies back then. Now they're selling like every Christmas, they're all coming out. Everyone telling you about themselves and what they did. And they just shared, these guys just shared, they shared their stories about Jesus. What did they see? What happened? And then we can even go to Jesus. And he just said, I'm just doing what the Father tells me to do. That's the extreme. He said, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what the Father tells me to do. And that just made me think about my life and what I focus on. And what's important for me and what are those stories that I share? What are the things that I talk about all the time? Do I actually see what is happening around me, the people around me? Someone told me many years ago that I talk a lot about myself, and that, man, that was an ouch. You know that ouch moment? Where you like, coming from a friend. But those are the things that change our lives. Well, that changed my life. And it made me think a bit. And I thank God for my wife. Lee's also straight and narrow. So don't get away with a lot. That's good. It helps me a lot, and it's a big blessing. And that's also why we need people around us. People that's honest with us and people that love us. And just going on this morning, I know you guys, you will have your stories, and there's a lot of stuff happening. We don't know what's happening in everybody's life, but I pray that we will be able to see what is Jesus doing. Where is he moving? and give him the glory where necessary. And just be alert to that. And then we get to, well, I'll first read you John 8, verse 54, where Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. John 17, verse 4, I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. This is speaking about the Father. And then Jesus went on in Matthew 16, he started talking about church. So, we've got our life and we've got everything that's going on. And I just quickly want to say something about church. We see where Jesus went and he stopped the disciples and he said, okay, what's the word on the street? What do the people say? Who am I? What are you picking up? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, what do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's amazing that Jesus used that word church there. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church, and I will build it on this rock. Not only... Often we just say it's building it on Peter, but it's actually building it on what Peter said, that you are Jesus, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And in those days, people understood that, there's a rock, there's a cornerstone, that when they built and they put all the stones and all the rocks in place for any building and in the foundation, there was a stone and everything aligned to that stone. It says Jesus is saying, Jesus is the cornerstone for church. This is what we build on. This is why we gather. This is the cornerstone. But the funny thing is through the ages, through the years, we got a funny thinking that church is a location. It's a place where I go to on a Sunday if I have time. Or it's something that I add on. Or this... That's what we do. And many people think about church as a building. And if we go and look at the Greek word ecclesia, it is really a gathering, a called out ones, a gathering of people following Christ. There's people called out for a specific purpose. And that is what we are. And everyone else in church, there's the global church, followers of Jesus, people called out for that purpose of following him, and then also local church. And this is through the years something that got lost. They even went, they were translating the Bible, and later on they used a replacement word. After Constantine, and he declared himself as a Christian. Before that, Christians got persecuted. Then suddenly he said, no, Christianity is now a state religion. So everyone said, wow, that's amazing. So everyone wanted to become a Christian. And then they realized there's this thing, there's this church. And they said, maybe we can move from church being a gathering of people together for a purpose to just a location, to being a location. And what they did after that is the person that controlled the building or the Bible controlled what happened in the church. And that's where we got a bit of a fuzzy thinking, with a link to building, the link to a place, a link to a place where we go to. And they, even at a certain time, they tied the Bibles to the pulpits. That this is the only place where someone will hear the Word of God is in church, in a certain location. You know, Martin Luther and everything, and he broke, and he said the Bible will be available to everyone. To every man will be able to have the Word of God. And that's how they just continue, and they got that mean. He started translating Bibles, and they actually translated again in the right way, ecclesia. People called out for a specific purpose. But after that, somehow they just replaced it again with church. And still today, it's It is for us, it gets a bit fuzzy. It's so easy to forget the real meaning of church, the word church. And that's why I just want to quickly just touch on it. Because when I listen to just people, to us, to myself, it's so easy that we say, no, I'm going through a difficult time in my life. I can't go to church now. Or this is really hectic at work, and this is going on. I can't go to church. And we say, I can't go to. And before we realize, it is something that if there's time, if I can, then I'll fit it in. And I realize that this is something that it's really devaluing the worth of church in between us. And then there's the commitment of Jesus towards church, towards his group that is called out for a specific purpose. That's what I just quickly want to touch on. In Matthew 18, Matthew wrote there, if your brother sins against you, Jesus speaking, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, the group called out, this gathering, purposeful gathering of people. And then it continues. So there was a purpose for the church. It would have been a bit weird to just go to a, if we just read it as go to a certain location and make it public there. Just bring him into that group of people, that purposeful gathering. Gathering of people that is together. And just another example in Ephesians 1 verse 22 to 23. Says he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, to this gathering of people, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The body of Christ, the fullness of him. Acts 2 verse 42 is really where the church started, where this gathering of believers after Pentecost, where they got together and they started living life together. And they got everyone got involved, and people look at it and they were just added to the church, to this group daily. And that's where we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And we read on how it actually said they're attending the temple together. That was just one of the things that this group of people did as they were being a group set aside, called by God, following the Lord. An amazing thing what I also picked up is you might have seen when Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus, and he just went wild. He's persecuting the Christians. He's actually persecuting the church. That group. And Jesus stopped him. And I just love that verse. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There's such a identification by Jesus with this Christians. These people, he said, why are you persecuting me? You are killing this, you're attacking the church, you're attacking this group of people, but you're actually coming against me. And there's a big, I don't even have words for that, commitment, that identification of Jesus with his church. And I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to go forward and we miss this. Because it's actually such a blessing, it's such a power, there's such authority that comes from that. Comes from us coming together on a Sunday morning. We going to Reiterwacht as people that's got authority from Jesus to do something there, to bring life. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, this group, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is all us. Christ loved us and he gave himself up for us, this group. He might sanctify us. That he can present us holy, without blemish. And it's interesting when we look at the word community. Just quickly, the meaningful community, a group of people living in the same place, having a particular characteristic in common, the condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common. It's easy to see that church is community. We often say we want community in church, but it is what it is. It's community. That is church. It's exactly the same things. A group of people gathered together, just purposeful. So what we see God is building his church. He's the cornerstone. We see he's committed to us, this group. We represent God. With the church, we are God's agent in this world. God is going to do things through us. He wants people to be blessed through his church, through us. And one thing that we can do is, where one can start, is just to be intentional. There's a Lifeway Church in America. They did a study on spiritual, on discipleship, on spiritual growth with all their members. And then I took 5 points, and I said, these are the 5 key points to grow in the Lord. And the first one, I'm just going to name 2. The first one was being intentional. Just being intentional. Just going. Just doing. And they said, 2 is groups matter. Groups matter. And that's not only small groups, or that's whatever groups we are in church. It's us coming together. This is a group. They say groups matter. Be intentional about it. And they track that. And I'm sure we can also see something similar in that. As we connected in church, there's growth. But there's not only growth, there's also friction. There's also wrijving. There's also some battles. There's also people that I don't like so much. People revealing something in me that I don't like. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear. But we're all growing together. I know many people that sitting at home every Sunday, there's no community. And I can some of these people I really love, and it seems like there's no real growth anymore spiritually. This went to a certain point and now I just stopped there. The weirdest thing for me is when people say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church anymore. That's weird. When we read the scriptures, when we read the word, that's mind-boggling. But that's what we often say. And church is messy. I'll agree. We are sinners that brought together, but we are showing the world something beautiful that only God can do. Us coming together here, the group that we are, that's something that only God can do. He's that common ground. He's the one that brings life. And it's so amazing when we think about when Jesus say, they will know that you are they will know that you are following me when they see the love that you have for one another. Then it makes sense. Because that's different. That's weird. That's a message to the world. And I realize that I must go and look at what are those messages that I send out to the world? What are those messages that I'm sending out to my kids and people around me? The way that I talk, the way that I say things very loosely about church, the way that my judgment just got a bit, dear mekaar. So I think God is just calling us back that we will just understand His commitment towards church, His commitment towards us, His people. And so the question is really, when we think about church and when we think about how Jesus sees church and how He relates to church, how will it affect our relationship with church? How will it affect our commitment? How will it affect what we do? Because we are all part of something that God has started, that He's building, that He's committed towards, that He's shaping, He's making us holy. And He's working through us to bless others. I love what Theo also said. Through us, we can show people something of the love of Jesus, something of the love of God. This is really community. And people matter. People matter to God. Each one of us. God wants for us to have life. So it's so amazing when we think we want life. We have got our stories, we've got our challenges, we've got our everyday life. And then Jesus comes and He says, I am life. I'm the life giver. And then you say, okay, I love Jesus. And then we think about church, and then Jesus comes and says, church is built on me. Church is built on this life giver. Is built on the one that brings life. And in this, come and share in this. Come and share in this. Come and be in this community. And I realized that some of the messages that sometimes that I was proclaiming is it's uncomfortable. It doesn't fit in. It's not a nice time now. It's not so convenient. Those are some of the messages that I portrayed through my life, the things that I've said. The best is when, and I'm just going to say it. Sometimes there's people that come to visit and they say, I don't want to go to church now. And because now it's awkward, something. Some people we don't even invite yet. We've just got this weird thinking about church, about life, about calling them in to our community. And it's really, there's something that we receive. We trust for everyone. Some of you guys are new here. Everyone that walks through these doors, what we trust for is there will be something of the love of Jesus that you walk out with. And that's what God said. That is why the church is there. Something of the love of Jesus must be visible. Not us. Not who we are. Not the building. Not the company. Not the brand. Not shofar. Something about Jesus. It's kingdom. And that's what we trust for. There's something from a previous, from Shofar Tigerberg, we had a pastor there, Pastor William. And he always used to say that whoever comes through the door, he trusts for them for work. There were certain things that he trusts for. It will just, there's just a, you know, he just put his faith out for that. For everyone that's part of this community, there will be life. And we go through challenges. Man, life can change like this. I've seen God coming and he's done amazing things in my life where I was without work and a business that was not making money, and things had changed overnight. Massive miracles. I've seen that. But I also realized that the other side also. Things can change overnight. Things happen. But there's safety in community. But more than that, there's safety when we're together with Jesus. Where we're connected. Now, the verse is John 13:35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. My prayer is that we will be good representatives. That we will represent Jesus well. that in our community, that we will love well, that we will do these things well, that we will give a strong message to the world. That's why we go to Reiterwacht. I know what Jesus has done for me and for us. I'm confident that we can go there and we can share something, not who we are, share something about the love of Jesus. Because people are desperate. But they're not desperate for us, they're desperate for Jesus. They're desperate for just to have a hope again. And it's real. In this, in John 20, verse 13 to 17, I just love this, where Mary is going to the grave of Jesus. And Jesus comes there and she thinks he's the gardener. And he said, "Woman, why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" He said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." That's it. He just said her name, and she knew immediately. This is Jesus. And for me, that was just, that is just the thing that struck me. If Jesus is visible in us and through us, and will we know when he's just saying our name? He just called us by name. And we turn around and saying, "Why are you weeping? Why are you sad? What's happening?" And he just said a name. He said, "Wow." And then he said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Immediately there's something of community there. And later on we see in Matthew 28, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And they said to him, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers. Go to Galilee and there they will see me." And just later on in Matthew 28, said, "Now the eleven disciples went to Galilee." Judas is not there anymore. Some fell away. And I think even with us today, you start running together. Along the way, people get discouraged. They fall away. They struggle. Maybe we see them. Maybe we can gather them again. We can tell our brothers, our sisters. We can gather everyone and say, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's calling us. He's calling each one of us by name. Let's gather everyone. Let's gather. Let's run to him." They went to the mountain which Jesus directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching him to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And Jesus was speaking to everyone here, and he said to this group, "This is what I'm giving you guys authority to go and to disciple and to baptize." And that group, that is a representative of the church. That is you guys, go and disciple. Go and I'm with you. Go and get the people in. Stand strong, stand together. I'm excited about that when I read that. I've seen through the years amazing things happened, but through anyone. Where God is just using anyone that's committed to him, anyone that's coming here, that's part of church, God is using us to do mighty things. And he will continue to do this till he comes again. Because he's committed towards us. He's committed towards church. And my prayer is that all of us, that we will just meditate on this and again get a new revelation of church. That we won't be casual with church and groups and everything that forms part of church. That we will really be a community that represents Jesus well. A community that can show his love to the world and do it well. And that they will see that this is who we are. We are following Jesus. Let's stand this morning. I love it in John 17. You guys can going to read the whole chapter of John 17. I'm not going to go through it. But just one of the verses there is in this is what Jesus spoke to his disciples just before in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before the soldiers came and took him away. He had that last moment and he's speaking to him. And he said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had before you, before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people. I have given them the word that you gave me. And later on, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name." This is Jesus praying for us. So keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus said, "Let them be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. And not one of them has been lost except the Son." That was Judas. Jesus has given us so much. He's given us life. He shows eternal life. He's given us the Word. He's watching over us. He's with us. And this morning, I just want us to ask the Lord with our priorities and our mindset and our commitment towards Him, our commitment towards church, this group of believers, purposeful, called for Him. His agent in this world. Let us we're just gonna spend a short moment. They're gonna play. We're gonna sing a song. Where you are, just come to the Lord and just commit to Him again. Commit to church again. And then we'll also afterwards, if you want any prayer, you can come. This is community. This is where we trust God for breakthroughs. This is where we have life together. Amen.